glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Please stand if you're able. We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
We continue now with our processional hymn. That's hymn 335, O Bride of Christ, Rejoice. Please be seated. The Lord is our righteousness. Those who trust in Him will not be put to shame. The Lord is our righteousness. Father to the fatherless, King of kings and Lord of lords. The Lord is our righteousness. He leads us beside still waters. The Lord is our righteousness. His rod and His staff comfort us. The Lord is our righteousness. By faith in Him, we have peace with God. The Lord is our righteousness. He is present help for those in need. The Lord is our righteousness. Our righteous deeds are but filthy rags. The Lord is our righteousness. The sea and the waves obey His command. The Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness. Glory be to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Please stand if you're able for our Kyrie. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. Remind us that you and you alone are our righteousness at every moment of our lives. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our epistle lesson for this morning, our celebration of the first Sunday of Advent, comes from the prophet Jeremiah in the 33rd chapter. We begin in verse 14. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to those, to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our epistle lesson this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. What thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly, night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith? Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, and on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We sing our doxology. Would you join us now in confessing our Christian faith through the words of the Nicene Creed?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. We invite you now to join us in our hymn of the day for today. That's hymn 332, Savior of the Nations, Come. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. If you notice on the front of your bulletin this morning, our theme for the season of Advent was printed there. The theme comes from our reading in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 16. The Lord is our righteousness. And it's going to be a bit of a journey, I think, through the season of Advent as we focus specifically on what this means. We heard it read in our Old Testament reading, and we also heard it chanted from the altar this morning. The Lord is our righteousness. This is a phrase that can just go, whew, right over the top of our heads. So I ask, did you hear it? Did you hear what the prophet proclaimed? That the Lord himself is our righteousness. The Lord, not just any old thing, not to be misunderstood, the Lord is our righteousness. I wonder if you'd turn over in your bulletin or your Bible with me this morning to Jeremiah 33 and look in the 14th verse. We're looking at verses 14, 15, and 16 this morning of Jeremiah chapter 33. I'll give you a minute if you're turning over there. This is what the scriptures proclaim. Verse 14, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness." Behold, it says in verse 14, the days are coming. In Jeremiah's time, for sure. But for us this morning, the days are here. The days are going on all around us. The scriptures say, redeem the time, for the days of Eve are evil. Speaking of the time in which we live, in which children rebel against parents, in which family members turn on one another, in which there's wars and rumors of wars, famines and pestilence in the lands. Well, we've got it good here. Even though we complain, we got it good. I don't have it this good in other places. Not even close. The days are here. The text goes on. When God fulfills the promise made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. God makes a promise to his people. Long, long ago, we read about it first, clear back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. It says that he'll crush the serpent's head. That Messiah, that Jesus will come. Born of a virgin, prophesied by Isaiah in chapter 7. To save us. To save his people. From the house of David, as it says in verse 15, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David. That's what he did. It happened on what we're moving towards in Advent, which is Christmas. We heard about it in the hymn, from a virgin's womb. He shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. How does he execute justice and righteousness? How is he doing it right now? This is a question for many. Many who looked for Messiah to come, like the Pharisees, like the Sadducees, even like Jesus' own disciples did. For Messiah to come into the world, the promised one, but to execute justice and righteousness to them meant imperial rule. It meant Jesus taking over, ushering Rome out of Jerusalem, out of the promised land. And Jesus taking over and dominating. They ask him at the ascension, Lord, is now the time that you will usher in your kingdom, thinking that it's some sort of power, earthly power, with wars and strength and military might. But that's not right. For the days are here, the days are now, in which he will usher in this righteousness and execute his justice in the land. How does he do it? He's brought us here. He's brought us to church. By his own leading, by his own spirit, by his own word, for whatever reason, we walked in the doors this morning. Here we are, and now he'll execute his justice and his righteousness. But here's how he'll do it. He'll say to you this morning, and he does, that all your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, his righteousness and his judgment. Because Jesus himself went to the cross and gave his own life for you. that he might execute his justice and his righteousness in the land. The prophet's words fulfilled in our own hearing, in our own fellowship this morning. Verse 16, in those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell secure. But a question, dwell where? Where will Judah, where will Jerusalem dwell secure? See, in the study of the original language of this text, the word, the verb to dwell denotes and nuances a place to dwell, which isn't or is no longer Jerusalem, which is no longer the geographical promised land that the Jews and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and, as we said, even the disciples thought maybe he would usher in that kingdom. Maybe he would take back the land from Rome and dominate. It wasn't the case. They'll dwell securely in a place that we learn from John chapter 9. And the man born blind who comes to Jesus, born blind since his birth, he was blind. Jesus gives him his sight back. And you know what the text says in John chapter 9, verse 7 of that chapter, after Jesus gives him his sight, the man comes back to Jesus. Now the Pharisees get all over him later in the chapter and say that he should go give glory to God. They're thinking about the synagogue, maybe even the temple. But this man who's healed by Jesus, who gets his sight back, he knows the location. He knows the place to dwell securely. It's in Jesus Christ. It's in our Lord and Savior. He becomes the location of security and safety in God's kingdom. And we've all got places that we seek to dwell securely. Not just where we actually dwell, like in our homes, but other things in our life where we seek that security and that safety. Oh gosh, we look for it everywhere. We look for it in relationships. We look for it in finances. We look for it in our leisure. We look for it in the weather. I've been complaining about how cold it is all week. We look for this place to dwell, this safe place. But it's not there. We look for comfort and contentment and security in all the wrong places. And then, friends, when something goes wrong, we say there is none. But it's not true. It remains. The man born blind knows the place, and you baptized in the triune name, and me, and you given the word of God and the scriptures and the gospel. You know the place too. The place to dwell securely. The same place the man born blind worshiped, we worship. Not just at this building, but wherever Jesus is according to his promise in our midst, where two or three are gathered, he says, there I am. He comes to us this morning in his own body and blood, which he says himself is him. Wherever our Lord Jesus is, there's security. There's where we dwell. There's where we worship. And then the last portion, the portion that we focus on now in the season of Advent for the next four Sundays. It's a short verse. It's a short portion of a verse where the prophet proclaims, the Lord is our righteousness. But I want to urge you, if I can, to stop and to really think about what that means. See, the text, it does not say By the Lord we can gain righteousness. It doesn't say by the Lord we can gain righteousness. It says the Lord is our righteousness. Those are two very, very different statements. And so for the next 4 weeks, I want to focus on this statement of the prophet. I want to bathe in it. I want to live it with all of you. So that every morning and every night and throughout the day, this thought never leaves your heart or your mind or mine. That life, our Christian lives especially, they're not about trying to gain righteousness or trying to be better. It's true that God teaches us through His Word good things as He sanctifies us. But He does it His own way, not our way. But what we're not doing is we're not going about our Christian lives trying to earn something from God, trying to gain something we don't have. The text does not say by the Lord we can gain righteousness. It's something to focus on, to live in, to think about over the next 4 weeks. You, me, our strivings, our attempts at being good, our attempts at being good enough, whatever that means, that's not your righteousness. And it's not mine. The prophet utters the words that give us hope and peace and comfort in our every moment. And those words are thus, the Lord is our righteousness. Focus for just a few minutes on those first couple words. They seem small. Dare we would ever say insignificant. Just two words in our English language. The Lord. In the Hebrew language, it's Yahweh. Like I said, dare we would ever say insignificant. Oh no. The covenant name of God with His people, Yahweh, the Lord. See, this righteousness that the prophet's saying is ours. It's not ours because we earned it. It's not ours because we chose it. It's not ours because we decided we wanted to have it. It's ours because our God, our Lord, Yahweh, revealed in Jesus Christ, gave His own life, laid down His own life on the cross for our sins. And in that, and in His resurrection, He brought to you a great, wonderful gift for Advent that I'm encouraging you every day, friends. Meditate on it. Think about it. Ponder it. Consider it. He gave you the most wonderful gift, and me, that we could ever imagine. Forgiveness, yes. Life eternal, yes. Joy, yes. Hope for the future, yes. A clear conscience, yes. But even more and above all, not just anything, not just a normal kind of reality that we would deal with in our daily lives. No, He gave you and me His righteousness. Let that sink in for just a second. It's huge. His righteousness. Colossians chapter 3 says, when the Lord Jesus, who is our life, shall appear. Speaking of the future. What does it mean for you? It's a challenge. It's an encouragement. What does it mean for you in your everyday moments to possess by faith in Jesus the righteousness of Yahweh? Do you know what He says in Isaiah? Let me read it to you. We know our God is amazing. We know He's big. We know He's powerful. We know He's perfect. Listen to Isaiah 45. for just a moment. I am the Lord, he says. I am Yahweh. There is no other besides me. There is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being. I create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. Shower, O heavens above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. I, the Lord, have created it. Does the clay say to him who formed it, what are you making? Or your work has no handles? Woe to him who says to a father, what are you begetting? Or to a woman, with what are you in labor? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel's, I made the earth and created man on it. It was my hands that stretched out the heavens and commanded all their hosts. His righteousness, his perfection. I want to jump up and down. I'm not going to, but I want to, because it's yours. You don't have to earn it. That's the base that we start from as Christians. That's what's given to us in the water of baptism, perfection in the eyes of God in Christ. So now one pastor says, when God looks at you, he sees in you the righteousness of his Son. So enough with the accusation, Satan. If you came to accuse us this morning, you came to the wrong address. You'll have to go to Jesus if you want to talk about us, because he died for us. This is what the prophet is getting at. It's not some any old righteousness. It's the righteousness of God, and it's yours. If that's not joy for the season, friends, if that's not something to look forward to, it's amazing, and it's wonderful, and it belongs to you because Jesus died for you. A starting point? Sure. From that base, we go forward as righteous in God's eyes, knowing that every good work, every good thing, every good word, every service to God that we engage in comes from that righteousness that lives in us. Quick way to have some comfort in a life filled with sin in this world. Have you ever asked yourself, why is it that some people seem to go out and live these crazy lives in which they have no bad conscience about doing a lot of bad things? And for me, for you, we notice the sin. We see it, and it bothers our conscience. Have you ever asked yourselves why? How? Why is it that I notice it and others seem not to? Back to the text. The Lord is our righteousness. That righteousness that he gave you, that's the reason that any of us notice it. Because it's living inside of us. Jesus says in John's gospel, whoever believes in me, the Father and the Son will come and make their abode with him. Gives to us this perfection that we might go forth and share the glorious news of what Jesus did, that we might live in service to him with peace and joy and hope. And over the next few Sundays, we examine these words even more and what they mean. Examine them with me. Keep them somewhere, anywhere. On a postcard, on your hand. Think about what it means. If you weren't in our adult Bible class this morning, we're doing another thing for Advent, in which each sermon on a Sunday, the next adult Bible study, the next Sunday morning, we go through even deeper the meaning of what was said and what was taught, what the scriptures brought to us. And we'll do that for the next 4 weeks. As we examine this reality and what it means for our lives, that the Lord is our righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord of all, your Son declared that if his disciples ceased praising him, the very stones would cry out. Receive our thanks that you continue to preserve your word among us, even in a world that opposes your name. Grant us tongues that joyfully declare your praise. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
prayer. O Lord, we often use the cares of this life as excuses, dissipation, drunkenness, distraction from you and your promises. Guard us from temptation that would harm our faith, from temptation that would cause us to fear your coming. Preserve us by your grace and help us see that you are our righteousness, that we may wait with joy to stand before the Son of Man in glory. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, grant us repentant hearts and increase our love for one another. Lord, that we may show forth our faith in good works. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Our Lord, our King, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne, and steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Lord, you pour your mercy upon us. We pray you watch over the authorities of our land, and that you'd grant that they would govern justly so that we may continue to live in peace as we proclaim your love and faithfulness. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We give thanks to you, O God, that you establish our hearts blameless in holiness before you. Though it confounds us, your mercy. Lord, you also provide for all our needs in body and in this life. So we ask you, protect those who care for us, doctors, nurses, medical professionals, police, firefighters, all those first responders. Watch out for them as they care for us. And Lord, hear our earnest prayers for those who are in need of your care or your mercy this morning. Lord, we name before you from the altar now Carl Keller, Katie and Eric Philly, Connie Poole, Rob Miller, Joyce Austin, Anna, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Richard Lynch, Janice Ross, Lori Hauser, Jim and Linda Holman, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Geary, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, bless those and give them your strength. And also, Lord, comfort today those who mourn until the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, who came in your name to save us from sin and death. As he visits us this day with his body and blood, in with and under the bread and wine, give us penitent hearts that worthily welcome his coming and rejoice in his gifts of forgiveness, righteousness, life, and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. God our Father, you have loved and chosen us according to your mercy and called us through the living voice of your word. Grant to us the spirit of your grace, that what you have begun in us may be brought to completion when Christ appears in his glory on the last day. For you live and you reign, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time in our service, we have the opportunity to return to the Lord a portion of the things that he's so graciously blessed us with in our tithes and offerings. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we'll enjoy an instrumental from our organist. You've been joining us on the radio this morning. We thank you for tuning into our service and wish you the Lord's blessings on your Advent season. We invite you to go with us on our journey through Isaiah, through Jeremiah 33, verse 16 as well. If you're gathered in the sanctuary this morning, we invite you to please turn over to page 9 in your bulletin and stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give you thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally, because he is now risen from the dead and reigns and lives to all eternity. All who believe in him will overcome sin and death and rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your boundless mercy, you sent your servant, John the Baptist, to proclaim that in Christ the kingdom of heaven draws near. With thankful hearts we pray, come, Lord Jesus, confident that in his body and blood given us to eat and drink, we receive the forgiveness of sins, and so proclaim his death until he comes again in glory. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Jesus, what a glorious Son is she.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg.